going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX, and it is time to go to the guest line, and we're thrilled today because coming up on the 8th of May, so it's happening at Stiefel Theater, and it's happening very soon, Run DMC and the Sugar Hill Gang with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. It is a celebration of hip-hop. Again, this is Thursday, May 8th at 7:30 at Stiefel Theater. And we are very excited to be joined by Daryl McDaniels of Run DMC with us now on the show. Daryl, it is good to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. I'm ready to rock and roll, but I want everybody to know it's just DMC.
Oh, just DMC.
Not Run DMC.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't want people thinking the Beatles are back together.
Okay.
Come on, Run.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's funny, you know, Run's a reverend now. He's in there doing more DJ and TV stuff. But I love music so much that, you know, after Jamaster Jay passed away, I was like, okay, I walked this way in my Adidas all these years to tell people how tricky life can be. Now, at this point in my career, I can let all my rock and roll dreams come true and collaborate with all my favorite musicians, like I'm doing with the St. Louis Symphony, go expand my musical boundaries and go into other territories. So even though I'm 60 years old, I'm still doing exactly everything that I was doing when I was 12, and it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, have you played and performed with an orchestra before?
I've never done it before. I've played with funk bands. I've played with rock bands. I've played with metal bands. I've played with punk bands. Just this past weekend, I performed with a ska orchestra band. But now I'm coming to St. Louis to do what I can do with the St. Louis Symphony. Now, that being said, I've seen Cypress Hill do it. I've seen Nas do it. I've seen a couple of people in hip-hop do it, but I've never done it. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun for me because I'm going to be doing songs like It's Tricky, Mary, Mary, Walk This Way, Sucker MCs, King of Rock and Rockbox. So it's going to be very, 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 very innovative, creative, entertaining. But like I said earlier, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. So it's my first time for everything. I can now add this to my King of Rock resume.
Yeah, you mentioned Cypress Hill. They did it with an orchestra live,
yes.
Right? And I think,
yes.
I mean, guys like Kanye sampled with classical music.
Yes.
So, like, that's happened
right.
before. But what made you what made you want to do this specifically to work with an orchestra? Because it has happened
right.
before, but it's still pretty unique.
Yeah. You just said it right then and there. Since the dawn of time, since hip-hop has been around, We sampled everything. James Brown, jazz, punk rock, R&B, you know, what Run-DMC did with Walk This Way. So all of this music was always there. Rock and roll, hip hop, funk, punk. Remember, y'all, I know y'all remember this thing called disco. Remember when disco died? I remember being a kid waking up and the whole world would say disco sucks and it's dead and it died. But when the world threw disco away, hip hop grabbed it. It was like, you don't want to use this? So just like you said, since hip hop's been around for 50 years, before we even was allowed to go into the recording studios, if you would have came to the streets of New York and seen Kool Herc or Grandmaster Flash or the Grand Wizard Theodore DJ, and he would pull out a classical song, throw it up on a turntable, and loop it and mix it in with the beat. And once we got the ability, once we was allowed, once they knew we was legit enough, once we was allowed to go in and record, once rappers like, you know, through the Sugar Hill Gang, allowed us to go into recording studios, like you just said, all the producers, all the MCs, all the rappers, all the DJs, since 1979, the first rap record, if you go and study and listen to all the hip-hop, classical was always up in there. Mm. But the beauty about this is to actually do it with the musicians who make the classical music. See, it's a difference from sampling something that's already on vinyl and putting it into the computer and putting it into your song. The beauty, the magnificence of the rebirth, the reintroduction, the exploring of a whole new universe is so much more powerful when you perform it with the actual musicians. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
And it's a new experience for, it's a great experience for people that like hip hop, who have heard hip hop sampled, but they've never seen it done in real time. And especially for people who like classical music. And this is funny. The people who love classical music, who hate when the rappers sample classical music because they think they're ruining it. This is a way to bring us all in the room with, you know, all the thoughts and misconceptions that we have, and show them at the end of the day, when you break it on down, when you remove the definitions and the divisional characteristics of that represent each different genre, it's all just music at the end of the day.
Daryl McDaniels is with us on KMOX. You know, you mentioned Sugar Hill Gang, which is, they're performing with you with the SLSO coming up May 8th at Stiefel Theater. And they get, they've for a long time gotten the traditional wisdom is they got the credit for the first recorded rap song. But was it happened before that, though, right? Wasn't there somebody in the 70s, the late 70s, that recorded a record first?
It was a band. It was an R&B funk band called the Fat Back Band.
Okay.
And they did a record called King Tim the Third.
That's
but the only difference was it wasn't a full rap song. It was the first song when the first time a rapper was heard rapping on a record. Like, he just came on, said a few rhymes, and that was it. Sugar Hill Gang gets the credit, rightfully so, for the first full-length, completely hip-hop recording. But hip-hop has always been around in many different forms for centuries. And what I mean by that is, when the people that created hip-hop before Sugar Hill Gang, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Treacherous Three, Afrika Bambaataa and the Zulu Nation, and Soul Sonic Four, the Cold Crush Four MCs, the Funky Four Plus One, the Fantastic Five, and all of those groups, like the Crash Crew, all of those groups that made hip-hop, we knew that hip-hop was here in various different forms. You had Gil Scott-Heron. You had The Last Poet. And even right in front of our face, when these rappers that I just mentioned started, it wasn't called hip-hop. they were just DJing and rapping over the music that was common to our communities. We come from a place where music to us was Saturday on the weekends when you had the weekend off and there was no school. Two great things would happen every Saturday. At 12 o'clock, you would watch Soul Train with Don Cornelius, and you would see all the funk and the black and the soul artists. Then at 1 o'clock, you would watch American Dance Dance, where you would see Dick Clark presents all the rock, funk, punk, everybody from David Bowie to the Beach Boys. That was a part of our history and our upbringing. And when these rappers that I just mentioned first started, it wasn't called hip-hop. Just like I can name a few records that are typical rap records, but people don't see it because they're so busy having something defined by labels. Y'all know Billy Joel's Read It and Start the Fire, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that record, Read It and Start, Segregation, Integration, he's rapping.
Yeah.
So that's just an example that it was being done, but it wasn't until we started doing it on a record where people needed to define it with something. So they just grabbed something that we were just saying, hip-hop, to hip it. But they grabbed something that we wasn't even saying anything about, and it was able to totally define a whole genre because they didn't know what to call it because it's a gumbo of rock, pop, hip-hop, soul, R&B, classical, jazz. It's a jumbo of the blues. And at the end of the day, everybody knows this. A great blues artist said this, and it's the truth. The blues is the roots. Everything else is just the fruit. But you could pull from classical work. You could pull from Beethoven. You could pull from Africa. You could pull from the American Indians. There's so much sound that people have a tendency to put in different classes, which creates the misunderstanding. Ginger Baker, one of the greatest drummers ever from the band Queen, he used to get pissed off. He used to say, it's just music, God damn it. Stop labeling it. But it's more importantly to understand that when it comes specifically to hip-hop, Grandmaster Caz from the legendary Cold Crush Brothers, one of the hip-hop groups that created this, he said this, and this is the truth. Hip-hop didn't invent anything. We reinvented everything.
So when we're talking about Fatback and Sugar Hill and then Run DMC comes in the early 80s, did you ever think that it was going to be what it is now? Because it took a while for it to really hit mainstream.
They asked Jam Master Jay, rest in peace, 1984, we went over to London and we was being interviewed. And the journalist asked Jam Master Jay, did you ever think hip-hop would be this big? Do you ever think it could be, you know, a legitimate form of music, you know, to rival pop, soul, and rock and roll and everything? And Jay said this. He said yes, because it was so big to me when I first heard it. And what's powerful about that was Jay was just saying that for his world. It was New York. It was Connecticut. It was Jersey, it was the East Coast. This little culture came out to Bronx. It started to spread across the United States like a zombie apocalypse. But when Jay said when he first heard it, he knew it was going to be big in the world. And Jay was just talking about his little world. But me and Run, our thing was just this. We didn't need it to be a big phenomenon in the music business. For us, the mission and the success, this is going to be funny too, was just to get this. So if you was able to go in and record a rap song, the success, the lifetime fulfillment, the mission accomplished was just to get the record played on Friday and Saturday night on the Friday night, Saturday night hip-hop show.
Yeah.
Because that was just our world. But the beauty and the significant thing that allowed hip-hop to become what it is, you know, it's popular, or I don't even want to say it's popular, to become a part of rock and roll was the positivity and the description and the content and the presentation. Yes, we talked about a lot of negative stuff. We said what the negativity was, but then we gave vision and hope and solutions that were positive. Like you said, before Run DMC, it was Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five, Sugar Hill and all of these gangs, and everybody was partying and everybody was spreading the message. But Run DMC came along, took rock and roll, which we were stealing from, combined that with our culture, and not only did we just sample or steal or take from another form of music, Rick Rubin made us literally go to Boston and do it with Aerosmith.
Yeah.
So when people saw that, the powerful thing was this. It was two generations, two different music, two different races of people coming together in harmony. That was the thing that made it so great. It wasn't me and Run and Jay could have just sampled Walk This Way, and people would have just been saying, yo, remember in 86 when Run DMC sampled Walk This Way, which was done by Aerosmith? But the beauty was we proved in an example that shows that politics and religion and all the hate that exists now, back then, in the civil rights era, even way back to the cavemen, all the hate in the world, that was when Steven Tyler took that mic stand and knocked down the wall that was separating us in the video. It didn't just happen on MTV. It happened in the world.
Yeah.
We were an example of the powerful positivity power of music. So when we first started out, our expectation was just to say, I've made it. Why did you make it, Run DMC? Because Mr. Magic and Red Alert played our record on Friday and Saturday night. It was no destination. There wasn't a destination of dominance. We just wanted to do honorably and respectfully to things that we saw the Beatles and Stevie Wonder, for example, doing.
Yeah.
Those were our inspirations. That's why hip-hop was so good. Now when you look at hip-hop, just to sell some records and make money, the promotion and oversaturation of kill and shoot and get high and have sex and I'll beat you up if you disrespect me, that's doing a disservice not to hip-hop culture, but to our communities. When I rap, I'm DMC, in the place to be. I go to St. John's University, and since kindergarten, I acquired the knowledge. After 12th grade, I'm going straight to college. I rap that with the same attitude and the same ego that people rap about selling drugs and being in gangs and doing negativity. That confidence that I put behind positive, legitimate, constructive ways to get everything that you want had an effect on my audience.
Yeah.
So when hip-hop was created, it was not created to be successful in the music business. It was created to do what Neil Young was doing when he woke up one morning and saw that the president sent the National Guard to shoot college kids. So what did he do? He didn't call his manager. He didn't call the label. He ran to the studio in Ohio. They called Marvin Gaye, who was known for just sex and love and he saw something was needed to be said about situations. So he did a record called What's Going On against Berry Gordy's Riches.
Yeah.
And the list goes on and on and on about artists, you know, not just musicians, creators, playwriters, journalists such as yourself, taking upon themselves to say, we need to talk about that. So when we was doing these records, our goal was, man, I want Neil Young to say I'm doing a good thing. You know, if I was able to meet John Lennon, who I saw sleep in a bed naked with Yoko Ono to protest the wrong things about a war. So we was like, whoa, they had to. The thing that marveled us was they were using their music. They were courageous enough to speak up for all of us.
Yeah. DMC, it is awesome to talk to you, man. I wish we had more time to do this. You'll be coming into town.
You know what?
Listen,
I'll come back on anytime you want.
Hey,
come into town.
How about this? When you come into town, come in studio and see us. How about that?
All right, let's make that happen. Because what's cool is I'm coming there to perform with the St. Louis Symphony.
Yep.
It's going to be phenomenal. Me and the Sugar Hill Gang. But real quick, on May 30th, I'm dropping my new single from my new album called America. This first single, it's me and Sebastian Bach from Skid Row on vocals.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Travis Barker on drums. Mick Mars from Motley Crue on guitar, and Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses on bass. So I'll come in. We could talk about the show.
Awesome.
And we can talk about the new music.
Let's do it. That's going to be great. Listen, DMC, awesome to talk to you. May 8th, Stiefel Theater, DMC, Sugar Hill Gang with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, slso.org for tickets. Daryl McDaniels, thank you, man.
Thank you. So I'm going to have my publicist connect with y'all.
Yes, please do.
Awesome. For me to come see y'all.
We'll see you in May.
Done deal. And y'all keep up the great work, too. Love y'all.
All right. Love you, too. That is DMC. Awesome.
Wow. This is going to be great.
It's going to be May 8th, slso.org. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.